Good afternoon. Happy New Year. So, like my wife said, we are very glad to be here this afternoon to share this fellowship here with the church. And we thank you for inviting us. We thank Pastor Al for inviting us. We would have loved to be here from morning, but we could not. We had to be at our home church because tomorrow we are flying back to Cambodia. So thank you for inviting us, and we trust that God would bless every one of us here today. And like Pastor Al said, it's not a sacrifice to serve the Lord. Following Jesus is never a sacrifice. There's nothing we do for the Lord that will ever be a sacrifice. Because Jesus is God, and he died naked on a Roman cross. So what can you do for him that will be a sacrifice for him? Someone said, he is no fool who, I will just paraphrase, who gives up something, who gives up what he cannot gain in order to gain what he cannot lose. So serving the Lord is never a sacrifice. This afternoon, I'll be following the theme of the church, which is walking with God. And we'll be looking at the life of Abraham as he walked with the Lord. I've been thinking of what it means to walk with God. You know, and I've come to realize that, you know, walking with God is just is living our lives with God. Now, I want you to imagine yourself walking with the most powerful president in the world and talking with him as you walk along. Or you're walking with the most famous celebrity in the world. Or with the richest person in the world, the most admired celebrity in the world. You know, people treasure such moments. But that cannot compare with walking with God. That's the greatest privilege any human being can have. That's the most joyful, the most enriching, the most satisfying experience any person can have. And such an experience comes from God himself. God is the one who invites us to walk with him. If you want to see President Duterte, you have to book an appointment and you have to wait until you are allowed. But for God, it's not that way. So it's the greatest thing any person can have. For Abraham, walking with God, you know, started when God called him to leave his place and move away. In Genesis 12, we read that God has said to Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your country to a place I will show you. Then in Genesis 17, God invites Abraham afresh. God says in Genesis 17, verses 1 to 2, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant with you, between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. I am God Almighty. And so when we talk about walking with God, that's the first thing we should remember. He is God Almighty. He's not just the president of America. He is God Almighty. The one who invites us to walk with him is God Almighty. So about 24 years after God had first called Abraham in Genesis 12, God calls him afresh, walk with me. So God calls real people like Abraham, like you and me, real people struggling with life issues, full of sorrows and joys, fulfillments and disappointments, imperfect people like you and me. To us, God says, walk before me and be blameless. Walk with me. And no matter how long we have been born again, the Lord still invites us afresh every day to walk with him. 24 years after he first called Abraham, he comes back, he tells him, walk with me. And age doesn't count. God invites both young and old to walk with him. No one is too old, no one is too young to walk with God. Abraham was 99 years old when God invited him to walk with me. You know, Psalm 1 verse 3 says, the one who delights in the word of God, who meditates on the word of God, will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. In verse 1 it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Which means, the one who is blessed is the one who walks with God. Instead of walking with the wicked, you walk with God. And then God said, that scripture says, you will bear fruit in every season of life. Your season as a child, as a student. Your season as a parent, as a grandparent, as a great-grandparent. You will bear fruit when you walk with God. But what was it like for Abraham to walk with God? And what are the lessons for us today? What was it like for Abraham to walk with God? And what are the lessons for us today? Now, from Hebrews 11, because in Hebrews 11, you know, we get further explanations about the life of Abraham and other people who had walked with God. From Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 19, we learn that for Abraham, walking with God meant living a life, we can describe it today as biblical faith. Living a life of biblical faith. And so the question is, what does that mean? What does that entail? Because when we understand what it means, then that helps us to understand what it means or what it meant for Abraham to walk with God. And then that will help us also know what it will mean for us to walk with God today. So the first thing I would like to say about that is that Abraham walked with God by living in faith, by believing and obeying the Lord. Living in faith by believing and obeying the Lord. Verse 8 in verse 9 of Hebrews 11 and also verse 10 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So for Abraham, walking with God meant living in faith by believing and obeying God. Believing without any physical evidence. Obedience without explanation from God. He believed God when there was no evidence for him to believe. He obeyed God without requiring explanations from God. So Abraham demonstrated faith when he believed God, when he obeyed God. By faith, he obediently followed God's call to move to a place he did not know. By faith, he went out, not knowing where he was going. So Abraham didn't know the place. The only thing he had was the word of God, the promise of a land that God will show him You see, God did not even tell him the land, the address where he was going to. God just said, get up and go. And he took the word of God, he treasured it in his heart, and he started going. He didn't know where he was going. People like to know where they are going, and it's not wrong. But when we walk with God, God can call us to do things that are abnormal. People will say you are weird. People like to know where they are going and then to choose the way to go to that place. But sometimes the way is obscure. We cannot see very well. So Abraham was one person who could go out not knowing where it was going. He was going, but knowing that it was right to go out. God has told him to go, and he went. It was only when he got to the land that God told him, this is the place. So Abraham treasured God's word above everything, even above his own security, above the stability of staying in his own land. And it was like moving from the New York of his day to live in an obscure province. You move from New York to go to live maybe in Mindanao. That's the kind of thing Abraham did. And that's what it means to walk with God. Believing God enough to leave the certainties that you know, to a place you do not know. That is faith. That is obedience. And that's walking with God. Relying on nothing other than the word of God. That is faith. That is walking with God. Obeying God even if it is not easy. That is living in faith. And that is walking with God. Treasuring God and treasuring God's word above all things. That is living in faith, and that is walking with God. And that's what God calls each of us to. God calls us to that, having a firm, a solid, a resolute confidence, a calm courage in the promises of God, even though the fulfillment you cannot see at the time. So do you believe in God's word and promises enough to act upon them without knowing what consequences will result from them? Do you trust God enough and rely on him enough to obey what he asks you to do without knowing the result? Will you go out to a place you do not know? Will you do things you are not familiar with if God asks you to do that? Do you trust God enough to let him choose the way to accomplish the visions he has given you? Do you have firm, resolute, solid confidence in the promises of God, even though you can't see their fulfillment? Do you treasure God and his word above all things? When we walk with God, we see our faith not just as a means of receiving something from God, but much more as the grace and the power of God working in our lives, moving us to believe God, moving us to obey him in extraordinary ways and circumstances that bring glory to God. And it is that obedience that shows our faith in him. In the world today, people don't admire that kind of faith. But we know that faith that honors God, faith that takes God at his word and lives expectantly and obediently in the present, waiting for him to fulfill his promises, that's what God delights in. And such faith can bring suffering. Such faith can bring persecution. Such faith can be can be inconveniencing to us in various ways. But that kind of faith pleases God. And that is walking with God. When we live in bold confidence in what the Word of God shows us. So for Abraham, walking with God meant living that way. Believing God and obeying Him, even when it was not easy to do that. And then secondly, living in faith by offering his best to the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So for Abraham, walking with God meant living in such kind of faith that he could offer his best to the Lord. And Abraham could offer his best to the Lord because Abraham treasured God above his best. For Abraham, his treasure was not his son Isaac and the promises that his son carried. His treasure was God. So walking with God means even treasuring God more than the visions God has given you, more than the ministry God has given you, more than everything God has promised you and given to you, treasuring God above them and giving those things back to God. That's walking with God. So God tested Abraham. Abraham was to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And he did. Because in his mind, he offered his son. Even before they got to the altar. And that shows really how Abraham treasured the word of God. First of all, God said go without telling him where to go. He went. And now God says, sacrifice your son. And Abraham did not argue with God. His son had asked him, we have the fire, we have the wood, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. But the book of the writer of Hebrews tells us, Abraham, you know, reasoned, you know, his reasoning, his thinking, his mind was that God would bring back this son. So Abraham made up his mind, this son will be sacrificed to God. God has asked for him. So when we read of that story of Abraham, we usually think of Abraham having a conflict between his love for his son and his duty towards God. But as we look at the book of Hebrews, the problem here, the crisis Abraham had, was not that. It was Abraham's difficulty in reconciling the seeming contradiction between the promises God has given to him and the command God has given to him to sacrifice his son. God has given him promises, and those promises were bound up in his son Isaac. And now God is saying, sacrifice that same son, which means sacrifice all the promises, all the visions I've given you, sacrifice them. Throw them away. And Abraham couldn't understand. How can God contradict himself? How can you tell me to go to the right and now you're telling me to go to the left? See, sometimes God's ways look foolish. God's ways look contradictory. And when you decide to walk with God, you have to decide to live with those contradictions. You have to decide to live with those seeming foolishness of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than the world. So walking with God means living with contradictions. when it seems to be contradictions from God. And so Abraham went on. He did what God commanded him to do. That brought Abraham to a point of trusting God. Radical trust in God when God seemed to be contradicting himself. What will he do? What resolved it for Abraham was because Abraham had walked with God up to this point, Abraham had learned that this God is dependable. Even when I don't understand him, even when what he's telling me to do is difficult, even when I cannot see a way through, I will still trust him. Like Job said, even though he slays me, I will still trust him. Abraham had come to that point because he had treasured God and treasured the word of God. Romans 12 verse 2 says, we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we can prove the perfect will of God. See here, the Bible says Abraham reasoned. His reasoning, his mind. His mind had been so transformed that when circumstances come up, the way he reasons, the way he thinks, when he's in crisis, the way he decides to settle that crisis, it's not the way of the world. He thinks, his thoughts are aligned with the will of God. The way he decides to resolve his problems, those ways are far from the ways of the world. The Bible said he reasoned that God was able. So that's what walking with God meant for Abraham. And so the question for each one of us who desires to walk with God is, are you willing to trust and obey God even if it is not easy and you cannot understand what God is doing or asking you to do? Will you still trust God when his ways seem contradictory and even foolish? And are you willing to offer your best to God when offering that your best to him would mean the end of the visions God has given you? Will you still offer that best to God when offering that best would mean the end of the vision God has given you? So we learn what Abraham found out. Walking with God is trusting him and obeying him even if it is not easy and we can't understand God, even when he seems to contradict himself and act in foolish ways, we still trust him. Offering our best to him, even when it appears that will be the end of our dreams, of our visions with God. We should trust him. After all, every vision we have originated from him. If those visions, if they die, like Isaac, God will raise them up in a more glorious way. And so why not give them into his hands? So walking with God means completely relying on him. You know, someone says that as Christians, we are like babies sleeping on the cot of heaven. You know, the way you see a baby sleeping on his small bed, that's what we are. We're like babies. The small bed is the small bed of heaven, and that's where we're sleeping. And unless we come to that point, it will be difficult to walk with God. Babies have no problems. See, my son, my little son, were coming. He was sleeping all the way with no care in the world. That's how we should be towards God. And that's what it means to walk with God. Throwing ourselves into his hands and allowing him to lead us. And then thirdly, living in faith. Even in disappointments. That's what it means also to walk with God. living in faith, even in disappointment. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. Hebrews 11:17-19 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac your offspring will be named. Would we not consider it disappointing to hear God tell Abraham in Genesis 22:2, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God says, your son. He didn't stop that. He says, your only son, Isaac. He didn't stop at that. He says, whom you love. So Abraham, your son, your one and only son, your one and only son whom you love. Wouldn't you consider it disappointing? All these years, they had waited for his son to be born. 100 years old he was. And the son comes. And God says, take him, sacrifice him. Wouldn't it be disappointing to hear that from God? The one through whom the promises of God to Abraham will be fulfilled is now to be sacrificed. And with him will die all the promises and visions from God. Abraham had left his father's house, had left everything, and now he had come to this point. And God says, burn everything up. Burn everything up. Will you call that walking with God from the human point of view? No, that's not walking with God. But from God's point of view, that is walking with God. If you were in Abraham's shoes, what will you do? What was Abraham's response? We read that before. He considered, or he reasoned, that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So the one who walks with God, even when it seems that we are in disappointing situations, we don't respond depending on the way we feel, depending on what we see. We take up God's own word. We take up all that we know about God and respond with that. Abraham considered, he reasoned. When God said that, he thought, this God, I know him. He has done great things. I know who he is. I was 100 years old. My wife Sarah had already given up hope. Humanly speaking, she cannot bear any children. And God was able to make her give birth to a child. If God was able to do that, God can raise his son back. And so this may be disappointing, but because God is in it, the disappointment will not prevail. God will prevail. That was his reasoning. And the Bible shows us God prevailed. Abraham's faith in walking with God in that way was vindicated. He received back his son. And then in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, we read now about other people, not just Abraham, but Abraham included. All these people died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, all these people, including Abraham, they died still exercising faith, still walking with God without receiving the fulfillment of the promises of God. They knew that God had promised them certain blessings, but they did not receive them, and they died. they had with it. Each day, they thought, now the promises will be fulfilled. But that day passes. Nothing happens. It seems like disappointment. But they kept hoping, walking with God, until they died. They didn't receive the fulfillment of those promises. That's what we read here. Even though Abraham received what was promised in Hebrews 6:15, at least he got his son. But then the full fulfillment of everything, Abraham did not see them. Because the blessing was more than just Isaac. The fullness of the blessing he did not see. And so the people we read about in the book of Hebrews, including Abraham, that was how they walked with God. Many of their visions, many of their hopes were not fulfilled until they died. But they didn't give up. It seemed like disappointment from human point of view. And if you even go down in that Hebrews 11, you even go down up to verse 30, you even see things that look like more disappointment. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended. God approved them, which means they pleased their lives, their walking with God pleased God. But this was how they ended their lives, for their faith. Yet none of them received what has been promised, because God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So we call things disappointment because we walk on our own timing, not the timing of God. You see, they thought the fulfillment would come, but the Bible says here, God had a better plan. God's timing was that those people will not be made perfect apart from us. Together with us, they'll be made perfect. That was God's timing. So when we look at the calendar of the world, we see disappointments. But those who walk with God, they see another calendar. They see another timing, which is not the timing, the human timing. They see more than that. And they see, in the midst of those disappointments, they see God's plan at work. God is still working. And so walking with God, we might face disappointments. But we move on, we continue, because God has something better for us. God has something better for us. So Abraham and the others who walk with God, they walk with God until the end of their earthly lives without seeing those fulfillments of their visions. But the important lesson is that though they had the seeming disappointment of unfulfilled visions and hopes, they died in faith walking with God. They died in faith walking with God. And though disappointed in this world, verse 16 of Hebrews 11 says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So walking with God may mean living till the end of our lives with what appears to be disappointments. But then, as we're going to see, God has his own plans. So for Abraham, walking with God meant living by faith, or living in faith by believing and obeying God. Living in faith by offering his best to God. And then living in faith even in disappointments. Now, why was Abraham able to do that? Why was he able to live in faith and to walk with God the way he did? We read from Hebrews 11 again that he was looking forward to the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. So his eyes were fixed, not on the things around him, but on the word of God. And that's how, and that's what will help us to walk with God. If you look at verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. In verse 14, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And then at the end of verse 16, for he has prepared for them a city. See, just this morning when I was going through this again, I was stunned. In those three verses, you read about city or homeland. These people, they were living in a place, but their eyes were set on another place that God has prepared for them. And that's why Abraham could do all that he did. He could offer his best because he knows that what is best here is nothing compared to what God had put ahead of him. So the reason for Abraham's faith, obedience, going out without knowing where he was going, the reason he lived in the land of promise as a foreigner, the reason he walked with God the way he did, was his forward-looking faith to a city with foundations. The designer and the builder of that city is God. Are you looking forward to that city whose designer and builder is God? Nothing on this earth compares to that city. Nothing on this earth compares to that city. And so that's why it is worthwhile to walk with God. If walking with God would mean not realizing the things I want to realize here, there is a city that God is preparing for me. That's what the Bible says. His clear conviction and confession that he was on a journey and he has not yet arrived. That's what verse 14 says. These people we read about, they made it clear that they were seeking a homeland. And the Bible said, if they had it in their mind to return to where they came from, they would have returned. Abraham would have gone back home, even Isaac. When it was time for Isaac to marry, Abraham told his servant, swear to me that you will not take my son back to that place, but you will go there and bring a wife. See, and when the servant said, what if the woman refuses to come back with me? Abraham flared up. He says, make sure you don't take my son back to that place again. Because God has told me not to go back. God has set me on a journey, and I must be on that journey. They made it clear. God has set something as a goal for us, and we must reach it. So what goal has God set for you? There's a city God is preparing for us. And we must not allow anything here to keep us from it. And that's what helped Abraham. If we are to walk with God, we must have to consider ourselves as foreigners, as strangers in this world. And Abraham demonstrated that. In the land of promise, he lived in tents. Not building a house and staying. We can build a house. That's not what the Bible is saying. But Abraham showed his faith by the way he lived. He showed he was a stranger And in our own different ways, we should show that we are strangers in this world by not letting the things of this world take hold of us. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that was Abraham. His heart was there. And so he could walk with the only person who would take him to that place. And then again, why was he able to do that? The second point why he was able to do that. Abraham was trusting and confiding in God's ability and power to do supernatural things. And he lived his life showing that. Abraham knew God's power, knew what God could do, and he lived his life showing that. Deep inside his mind, inside his heart, he knew who God was. He reasoned. He considered that God was able to raise the dead. So if God could say, sacrifice your son, he would do that. And so his mind, his heart was transformed. And what were the results of Abraham's walk with God? Of course, there are so many. But I'll just mention a few. In chapter 12 of, in verse 12 of Hebrews 11. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Therefore, which shows results. Inevitable result. Because of what he has done, therefore this happened. Because God promised, and Abraham believed him and walked with him, the results came. Very small was his beginning. Only one man, and the Bible says he was as good as dead, which means his power to procreate, his power to produce children was gone. He has been written off. People have said nothing will come out of him anymore. But what happened? From him, descendants were born that cannot be counted. So even when people write you off as dead, nothing good will come from him or from her. If you walk with God, the results will be beyond the calculation of human beings. That's what the Bible shows us here. Because God is God, he's not man. And then secondly, in Hebrews 11, 19. When Abraham had faced that test of sacrificing his son. That contradiction of God, that disappointment of losing his son. And the promise, or the promises that God gave to him. What was the result? He received his son back from the dead. He received God's approval. And his faith in God, his walking with God, was vindicated. We seek human approval. We want friends to receive us as part of the circle of friends. We want to be praised by people. But walking with God in this way opens the door for God's approval. And what could make a person's life more peaceful than having the approval of God? If you have the approval of God, you can sleep even in a storm. You won't care what happens. Because you have God's approval. Abraham received his son back from the dead. And then thirdly, verse 16 of Hebrews 11. But as it were, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Because these people, including Abraham, desired God's city. The Bible says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. We can even say here that God is proud to be called their God. You know, usually it's someone who is inferior that is proud to be associated with someone who is higher. If the president of the Philippines calls you for lunch with him, the pictures will be on your Facebook. Everybody in the world, you would like them to know it because you're proud to be associated with such a person. But here, it's no longer the tables are turned. It's not the lower person being proud or being associated with the higher person. But now God is proud to be associated with you. It's like God is going around boasting. You know, this person is my friend. Can you imagine that? God is going around telling people, this young man, this young woman is my friend. Can you imagine that? When we walk with God that way, the Bible said, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Everywhere God is, he wants to be identified as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you add your own name. You add your own name. The God of, you put your name. When we walk with God, that's what happens. So what do you desire? Does your desire make God proud to be called your God? The things you desire, do they make God to be proud of you? Proud to be called your God. When we desire this heavenly city, this dwelling place of God, more than we desire all that this world can give us, then God is not ashamed to be called our God. And that city is desirable just because God is there. If God is not there, if God is not in heaven, then heaven will not be a place to go. So desiring that city is another way of saying desiring God himself. When God becomes your central desire, you see, that is the point of walking with God. God becomes the central desire of your life. Everything you do in life, it doesn't matter what your profession is. It could be a teacher, a doctor, a nurse, a cleaner. That's not the point. But in that profession, in that area of life, your real desire is God himself. You're doing that work in such a way that work magnifies God. That people see you doing that work, they think about who God is, his greatness, his power. Because that's what when we read the life of Abraham, the focus shifts from Abraham to the God of Abraham. The God who accomplished the things in Abraham. The God that Abraham trusted and was able to become a man of faith. So that's what it means to walk with God. Living such a life that when people look at you, the focus shifts from you to the God you represent. To Jesus himself. So when we make much of all that God promises us, God is proud to be called our God. And that is good news. So open your eyes to that better country. Open your eyes to God, to the city of God he has prepared for you. And let yourself desire it with all your heart. God will not be ashamed to be called your God. And now in summary, how do we practice this? In other words, how do we walk with God as Abraham did? We have said We have said everything that we need to say. Living in faith by believing and obeying Him in all things. And that is treasuring God, treasuring His word so supremely that we hang on every word that God says. And we do everything that God says. In that same Hebrews 11, you know, when we read about Noah, the Bible said Noah did all that God commanded him. In our world today, even some Christians, they choose and pick which word of God to obey and which not to obey. Which word of God to obey and which word of God not to obey. And that's the way to walk with God, is to live in faith by believing everything He says, obeying everything He says, delighting in Him, delighting in His word, meditating on His word, so that we'll be able to do that. And then secondly, living in faith by offering our best to Him. What do you have? Your heart, your soul, your strength, your time, your talents, your gifts, your profession, whatever you have. Use that thing, make use of that thing in such a way that the world will know that you treasure God more than that thing. If God gives you the opportunity of being highly educated, go on, but use your education in such a way that people see you treasure God more than that education. God makes you very rich. Use your wealth in such a way that people see that you treasure Jesus more than the wealth. That's how to walk with God. Then living in faith by walking with God even in disappointments. You see, we are human beings. We still live in a fallen world. It's not a perfect place. Until Jesus comes back, there will be disappointments. And as human beings, even though we are born again, we still share in it. Because the Bible says the whole world is waiting. The whole creation is waiting for the redemption and the manifestation of the sons of God. And until that happens, that disappointment will be there. But walking with God, we can be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And that's what the Christian life is. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. It is in the midst of that that we prove the grace of God that is able to walk through us for His glory. I don't know what your response to this might be. But as I close, I'll just read Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus is the center. Walking with God begins with Jesus, ends with Jesus. He has set the pace, and He wants us to follow. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Even Abraham kept his eyes on Jesus, because Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. So Abraham had faith in the one who was to come. Jesus is the only one who would hold us with the hand and lead us in walking with God. And so keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him and walk with God. And God will be glorified. Amen. Lord, we are grateful that You will call us, imperfect human beings, to walk with You. We thank you because you have also made a way for us to walk with you. May we always have the grace. May we always receive this grace to walk with you. That's our desire, O God. That in all we do, Jesus will be seen. Jesus will be magnified. You will be glorified. That the world would see that we even treasure you more than our very lives. Help us to walk with you. That is our desire. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.